Kedush Shal Pesach, share number 2 of Samach Tas.
The Moir Gadol, the Gil Shchina. The Gil Shchina is a Moir Gadol, which simply means the difference between Moir Gadol and the ordinary life. The ordinary life we adjust to. We do things. We used to a certain say that even the ruach stick apart. You know, besides the needs for the body, you want to earn a living, or you want to go to the shul, you got to learn, and you make brachas. There's a certain seder we're used to it. We're used to it. The Moir Gadol is when your life sort of explodes. Why? Because something happens that changes around everything, that doesn't fit into the world that you're in. That's Kiddush Shechina. Kiddush Shechina doesn't fit. It comes all of a sudden, you're ripped out of the whole Tzura Sachai. Because it's not part of the life. A part of the life that we're to give into the life where the Shechina is hidden. It couldn't exist with Kiddush Shechina. I mean, they stood by Har Sinai and the Neshamas jumped out. And Malachim had to come and put them back. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos. Malachim spoke as he died. That's what Moir Gadol is. But the interesting thing is that the Moir Gadol, he can't last a lifetime like that. It's a single shock that happens. But it has to leave a roshim, a permanent roshim. And it's very kedai. Even hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, but to try to experience the Moir Gadol of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? The Moir Gadol of Kriyas Yamsuf, that's what it says, Vayiru'u Ha'omes Hashem. Not Vayiru, they saw it, but Vayiru'u, they feared. There was a Moir Gadol, right? There was during Mitzrayim when you saw the whole world was falling apart, the order of things, everything was being destroyed and dying, and tremendous malchus that ruled over the world. So you saw the Yod Chazokas are to you. The Moir Gadol is that tremendous pachat that the world that you're living in, this is something that's outside of that world. And the Emma says that this pasuk of the right Zugilu Shchina, Kemosha Nemar, Hanisa, we'll see that pasuk in a minute, and the entire parsha where it says of Moir Gadol is the parsha of Havos Bikur. You have to be able to re-experience the Moir Gadol in a way that it shouldn't be just a seder of what you normally or ordinarily express, because in that case it's not Moir Gadol. Moir Gadol has to be a removal from the ordinary. It has to be something that fills you with an awe, a realization that you're not in the world that you're accustomed to. And if we just tell over the story in an ordinary way, so we didn't achieve anything. Understand? We have to be able to come to that level of Moir Gadol every time we tell over, we bring Bikurim, and when we sit down to the Seder, we say over the Pesukim. Because in the truth, the Parsha Bikurim is when the ordinary farmer interrupts his regular work, his plowing and his reaping and everything, and he goes to Yerushalayim and he steps into the Azor and the Beis HaMikdash, and all of a sudden his agriculturally based habits and customs and they suddenly disappear. He's now a chaluk of a higher experience. So it says the Parsha Bikurim in Pesach by night, when we sit down, and then by the Seder we should also be able to raise ourselves up to the level of where there's Gilu Shechina. And the truth is that this Pasuk is a Pasuk in the Parsha, and you know that Parsha by heart practically, right? That's Kisolot Bonim, and they Bonim, it's the Kriya for Tisha B'Av, Shantan Ba'oritz. And it says there that you should try to relive the old experience. Kisha'alno Yomim Rishonim. Right? Kisha'alno. Go back. Don't just live where you are. But put yourself back into the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kisha'alno Yomim Rishonim. Tachiyav on Yochid who... He's falling into the Neshantem Boretz Matzav. What is the word Neshantem Boretz? Everything is a product of habit. He became old. He became used to everything. What it means is that he became accustomed to everything, to the big things, the little things. Right? That's what Yeshaya Hanavi complained. But he, you're also Moise, Mitzvah Sanoshim Melumoda. It became just a habitual thing. So it's not as if you suddenly ripped yourself out of the world and all of a sudden are experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kishyamsev. But that's what you have to try to do. So that's the Pasuk of the Moira Godel that we express ourselves with. Zugilu Shechina. And there's a tremendous difference, because if you see one drop of blood, so that's part of life. If you see a whole river that turned to blood, it's a quantitative difference, which is very, very shocking. But it's just a lot of what could fit into the ordinary world. You see one frog, it's okay. One kina, right? If you see millions, trillions of them, so naturally, it's a quantitative difference that makes it shocking. But Moira Godel, there's nothing to compare it to. Right? There's not a teaspoon of it. There's no chotzishir of it. So every Moira Godel is itself piyetza. It's a hafkoa from the oil of Befiv, Vitzvosov, Kibduni, Volibam, Yochak, Mimeni. Okay. Now, next. Kama shenemer, hoy haniso Elohim levad lavoy lokachas legomi kev goy. Did any of the, you know, avodasoras ever attempt to remove one nation from another? Right? With masois, with tests, right? That explains over there what are tests. That, Moshe Rabbeinu told Pharaoh, "L'mosai arti l'cho," right? You tell me what to do and challenge me, and I'll prove to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could overcome your challenge. That's Masek. Oisoi said, "Moifsim, we spoke about him. L'chama, Chazok is added to you. L'mayroim gidoilim. Chayla shirosu l'cham Hashem l'keichem mitzayim l'inecha." And of course, Rabbi Sayron, I have to point out to you, and I'm sure you all know, that this pasuk is one of two psukim in the Torah. There are many psukim in Tanakh, that many. But there are two psukim in the Torah that contain the entire Aleph Beis, right? One pasuk is by the Mon, Liktu Imenu, right? Ish Lefi Ochli, Oymel, Rabbi Goylus. That pasuk has the entire Aleph Beis. And this pasuk, Havoy Hanisa, has the entire Aleph Beis. And there's something to be said, because every word and every expression uses certain elements these elements are called the osius, the alphabet, and so it's a message. The message is this word, this word, this word. These two psukim don't leave messages, but sort of reveal everything. Take the entire Aleph Beis. There's nothing left out. There's nothing that's being communicated to you. Everything is being transmitted. Communication is a message, and the message is a particular explicit message. These words, these ideas, these instructions. Hashem can the entire Aleph Beis, this contains everything. It's a revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? So that idea of Gilui Shechina is also the fact that it contains the entire Aleph Beis, right? Whatever there is, it's all contained in this thing, and that is an exhaustive list. What happened was something that can't ever be ascribed to any of the gods of nature, like the Goyim look at it, the forces, the powers of nature. There are no forces and powers that contain all of it. This is a revelation of the presence of the Rosh. Okay. Oh, because everything else is there before Mayer Godel. So what's Mayer Godel add? Doesn't add anything. The Torah says everything else till now was what happened, the events that happened. Mayer Godel is like saying that all these previous events happened in the framework of Mayer Godel. They weren't ordinary events. They were various revelations of Hashem Yisborach, revealing Hashem Yisborach. So this is sometimes very interesting, you know. Did you ever have a watch or something? You know, they do it by other kelim also. That's completely transparent. Ordinarily, you take a kelim and you press one thing and you see the Poel Yotze. You don't see the entire mechanism. Sometimes the person will make the whole carriage transparent and you'll see what goes on inside. Imagine if there would be cars riding on the road that would have a completely transparent frame. They may invent a plastic that's just as strong as metal. And lo and behold, you're driving with the car, and you can see everything. You can see the whole gearbox and each thing, how it transmits the power to this wheel, to that wheel, to the steering, into the... there's a lot of things that are happening in the world. Imagine as if all the covers would be taken off and you would see every single thing that's happening. You wouldn't be able to exist, right? And that's what Elisha told the Mishoris. When the Mishoris went with Elisha outside the city of Shimron, and he said to Elisha, what's going to happen with us? We're surrounded completely by the armies of Aram. And Elisha didn't seem to be concerned, so the youngster was panicked. What's going to happen? Don't you see what's going on over there, right? The tanks and the weapons are, and the armies and the forces, they're all arrayed against us in a moment. There's no hope. So Elisha said, he turned to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he was mispalel, "Pekach enei hanar, let the nar have eyes, open his eyes and see what we have." And "V'yivkach Hashem esenei hanar v'hine rechav esh v'susim svivos Elisha." He showed him the armies, the battalions of Malachim with their weapons, the fire. And of course it dwarfed the weapons of the enemy completely. And we're often in such a position, right? We panic because we lack the revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show us what's going on in the hidden mechanism that's closed to our eyes. And that's the Moirom Gedolin, complete revelation, which all of a sudden Yechad Eish Susim, we see the Hashgachar. V'ois is a mate. K'mo sh'nenem es ha-mate ze tikach b'yedecha sh'tase bo es ha-oises. Ha-mate has a couple of different aspects to it. First of all, the mate is a symbol of rule, mate moishle. Okay? A shevet is therefore called a mate because a shevet is governed by an authority. The symbol of authority is a mate. The words one would say there are matois. So what we mean, elo yoshe ha matois, the matois means the units which are governed by the authority of a single mate. That's why each shevet is called a mate. Mate also is something that is used to point, as I said earlier, that the Makas and Mitzrayim were all instructions. Kaman Tedon, you should know. Okay? And so the Mate was the instrument through which Moshe Rabbeinu to open up the eyes of the people and show them what the world is like. So he took the mate and showed them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoilet. You think you see water, right? Give it a touch to the water and the water will just turn into... It's interesting that in the time of the second Be'er, he said, speak. Kachas HaMate V'Hachel V'Dikbarte Mil HaSelem. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the reason he said Kachas HaMate was so that in case there's a need for it, so he should be makiz the stone also. Otherwise, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said Kachas HaMate? That's a Mori de Ketaina. What's the Taina against Moshe Rabbeinu? He said Kachas HaMate, so why V'Dikbarte Mil HaSelem? Because first V'Dikbarte, but if it turns out that the Dibur can't be poiled what he's trying to recoil, and so the only other answer is to hit. So why should that be called l'anloy hamantepi? So I said that the mate is used for two things. The mate is used for mate moishlin, and it's also used for a device to point, to direct. It's like the finger, but the mate is an enlarged finger. And so Yetzpah al-Kimhi, it's a teaching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's demonstrating. Because Kili Ha'aretz, right? You look at Earth, and that's the most stable thing in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take another look at the Earth. Kol Afar Ha'aretz, Hoya L'chinim, B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. There's no Earth. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yotzeh. This grain of Earth could be a kina as well. Instead of providing food and nourishment to the whole Medina, it could destroy the whole Medina. That's what the purpose of the Mate is there. In the first, in time of the first Boer, the Mate was a Mate Moishli. In the time of the second Boer, so the Mate was supposed to be a Mate of teaching, of demonstration. Okay. V'moishim zahadom. Dom is called moifet. K'moshe nemar v'nosati moishim b'shamayim v'oretz dom v'esh v'sim retzoshim. Okay, that's the pasuk. You know, I'm sure that everyone sitting here knows that. But when you have youngsters by the table who sometimes are accustomed to reading the Haggadah, v'moishim zahadom k'moshe nemar v'nosati moishim b'shamayim v'oretz. Right? The next paragraph is something that everybody's ready, waiting all night long. They're able to dip their fingers or tip over the coast, whatever your custom is, and pour out the wine three times, and one for Dom, and one for Esh, and one for Simon and Sasha. So of course, it takes sometimes a couple of passage of years to rip that mistake out of the kids, because nobody has its portion. But what is the meaning of Nesati Moisim Bashmai Ba'orit? And where does Moisim come to Dom? That nobody bothers to ask. But, of course, I'm going to say, I'm just pointing it out to you because I mean to certainty that you all know it. I'm just using the opportunity to... Now, why is Dom a Moifes? Okay. Moifes is used by the Rishonim to mean a proof. That's the language. That's amazing. How is it just? Hello? Don't call me in 20 minutes. 20 minutes, okay? Yeah. Remind me to call. So they write, you know, my face for this and my face for that. If you ever looked in the writings of the Rambam, the Chorus Chavovis, especially the translations from Arabic, but others as well, they'll use my face as something, a word for proof. But that's not what it means. It's just, a device, like certain words are restyled in order to accommodate the need for a word that should represent that. We say that my face is a miraculous occurrence, and it's different than Isis. How is it different than Isis? So others will explain that it's different than Isis because in my face is a miraculous occurrence that proves something. Well, then you're getting, trapped by the original use of the word my face to mean a proof. What exactly does a my face mean? The chilik between oisus and maisim is, like I said, the ois generally is an instrument of power, the mate, rather. Hamate. It's Kemoshenemes, Hamate is a tikkur piyadecha shetaseh bois oisus. And therefore it fits in with the mate, with the word oisus, rather. Because the source of power is designated, right? We know who has the power is the one who has the mate, just like by Achashverosh, right? So the Sharvet Hazov, Asher V'yodoi, that determines who lives and who dies. In the hands of the king, it's an instrument. You touch the person, so he lives, and if not, he dies. Avad me Asher Yoshet Lo HaMelech, Sharvet Hazov, V'choyo. So the Oisus and the Mate is what designates the power, the authority of the king. It's all a symbol of authority, and the ois are the actions of authority. The letters of the word, that's why it's also called an ois. Moivsim, Zahadom. The Moivsim is not the authoritative actions of the king who directs the events and dictates what should happen. But the Moivsim are the actual destruction that's wreaked by the ois. So the ois is when the mate says that this river is going to turn into dam, and he strikes the river and he shows that he rules over the river. Hashem Yisburach rules over the river, right? Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron, right? Aaron had to do it, kachas hamate, but he's doing it b'shem Hashem, striking the river to show that the river belongs to Hashem, but he can do as he pleases. And the Moifis is the actual conversion of the river to Dar. So it's a pair. Oisus and Moifis go together. Right? Oisus is the demonstration of authority, and Moifis is the unnatural effect of the ois on the chefetz that the ois is being done. That's why it says, Dom vo'esh v'simrei toshim. Dom is when, this death is dom, the blood runs in the street. Dom is when the yor turns to tom. Right? Or the makas b'chayrus, or any time there's blood of people or of animals running. So that's dom. Dom is the life force, ki ha'nefesh v'adom. So when the life force is destroyed, Right? So then there's dam, the moichet, the destruction of the effect of the yois. And the same thing with eish. The eish is another type of destruction. Things that have no life force in them could also have a very important chiyus, large buildings and cities that could go up. And timnei tzoshon is just when there's a major calamity. Right? Yairas kitor v'hinei ol kitor ha'oretz ki kitor ha'kivshot stav gamor turn into a pillar of smoke, a volcano, yiga v'horem v'yeshonu. Right? The smoke. Smoke is a powerful public demonstration of the effects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority. So the oasis is the authority, and the moifetz is the effect of the authority. Okay? We spoke about this Dove Ach already, and I don't want to add too much. Right? There's five sets of Chazoka. Because there are two words, Yod, Chazoka. Okay? Zeroya and Netuya. Another two words. Moira Godel, another two words. Oisais is plural. That's like two. Right? Mi is Oisai Shtai. Moisim Shtai. So, Elul. So you have ten units in this Pasik. Elul Eser Makir, Shev Yaakadosh Baruch Hu, Ala Mitzvah, Mitzrayim, Eluhi. Okay. I want to tell you just a few words about the Makir, because I always speak about it by the Seder, but not about all ten, because there's no time to speak about it. So you got to pick and choose. Understand? So there are certain things which I always, by the Seder, I set them down as the Yisoides, the Yikrim. And there are certain things which I vary from year to year, and naturally you're creative. So you come up with new ideas, so the new ideas add to the old. And it would be like the Shurim and the Yeshiva, right? Because every cycle gets to be 10-15% less, because you have all the old, which are written down in Yeshiva's notes, plus all the new chedushim. So you keep on adding more and more value, so the rate slows down. Understand? That's just one of the reasons. But what are the markets? Dom, Tzvardeya, Kina. So I said like this: Dom Tzvardeya has to be the first two, because on all the nations of the world resist every attempt to influence them because of their strong fundamental religious beliefs, their culture, and if they feel they're being attacked, they become like the English so eloquently called it, defenders of the faith, right? They fight for the glory of the Baal and the Asherah, even if it's burnt and destroyed. But they won't give up. They become defenders of the faith. The belief in Avodah Zorah is the greatest barrier to Emunah. And by destroying the Avodah Zorah, you don't accomplish anything. Because the people believe that the fact that this enemy attacked and violated the covenant of their Zorah obligates them to go out and do battle with oil and void, and they give over tradition to their children that we have to fight again and again for the glory of the Avodah Zorah. So the Avodah Zorah is not eliminated through attacking it, destroying it. That's why the halacha is, if there's Avodah Zorah that was left on the field, b'shas melchoma, so it's not bottle. In Avodah Zorah, you know, there's bittle. What's bittle? Bittle takes the actual hefta of the Avodah Zorah, which was worshipped and bowed down to when they could have sacrificed 100 people to, and they, like the moilech and everything. And once this bottle, so it becomes mutu legamri. Can't be used for carbon because that's a special dance, of course. Never. Okay? But that's what Tosfos says in Sukkot. Bittul doesn't help for the actual mitzvah. But for everything else, bittul helps. According to one Mahalach of Tosfos, bittul even helps for the mitzvah. Okay. So, but fighting it and destroying it, even making makis, doesn't help. What helps is bittul, and bittul has very definite rules. Who's allowed to be mevatel the avodah zarah? Not a yid, only a goy. Yeah, if a yid is mevatel the avodah zarah, it doesn't, it's nothing. The goy has to be mevatel the avodah zarah. Why is that? The answer is very simple, because the yid is the enemy of the avodah zarah. If the yid is mevatel, that's an attack by a person who hates the avodah zarah, by an opponent of the avodah zarah. And an attack by the opponent is not only not bittul, but it enforces the covet, right, and the zeal to counterattack, and creates stronger adherence to the avodah zarah by the goy who worshipped it, who gets into his mind that he has a lifelong obligation to fight to the death to go back at these people who had the effrontery to be mevatel their avodah zarah. So bittul by Yisrael doesn't accomplish anything. Yeah, bittul could only be if the goy is mevatel the avodah zarah. That's a halacha l'maaseh. Then it becomes bittul. And again, he's not mevatel it b'shas melchama. And even if he spit on the avodah zarah, Chazal say very interesting thing. If he spit in it, that shows that he has more emunah. Because why did he spit? Because he's very upset that the avodah zarah didn't help him. He expected the avodah zarah to do something with the avodah. So he's angry, but he still believes that it should be doing with the avodah, and he wants to express his indignation that the avodah zarah didn't do what it was expected to do. So rok b'fonav is not a bittul. What's the bittul of an avodah zarah? So you have to break off a little piece, and you have to do this, but what's all these mises of breaking and doing? You know what they all mean? What they all mean is that the guy looks at the avodah zarah and says, bah, nothing. Goodbye, piece of garbage. Break it up, take off a piece. To understand. That's why the bittul involves the rejection of the avodah zarah. V'yoymru ach sheker nochlu avoseinu hevel ve'en v'moyl. Right? That's the words of the Novi. That's what... That's what the Gagoy does. Now the interesting thing is, what's the tool that's mevatel the avodah zarah more than anything else? What creates the attitude of bittul? The answer is ridicule, because what creates the loyalty to the avodah zarah is covet. What creates the rejection of the avodah zarah is ridicule. That's why Chazal say kol litzanusa asirin. You're not allowed to make litzanus. Litzanus is the worst thing. Litzanus is a horrible thing to do, and many people may feel, you know, my very wonderful talents for making litzanus of everything. I have to get up and all the time and display my genius by being mevatel and being misloitzates over everything. Those litzanim are, you know, they think they're going to make people cheer and laugh. But the Pasuk says different. Zayd yohir leitzshemoy. Oysa be'evra zodoim. People who do that are destructive people. And they're not out to make anybody laugh. They're out to destroy the things that they make litzanim of. You're not allowed to be a letz. Can't be a letz. But one thing you're allowed to make letzonis of is avodah zarah. Right? Kol letzonus asir lebar mit letzonus of the avodah zarah. The Gemara brings the way they made letzonis of avodah zarah. Psukim from Yeshaya, which express vulgarity. Never could vulgarity be used. It's worse than letzonis. But it speaks about the avodah zarah in vulgar terms, as if the avodah zarah was suffering from diarrhea. That's the description given in Yeshaya. Vayuchal malit masa. Why is litzanusa the avodah zarah allowed? Because by ridiculing the avodah zarah, so the magic, the charisma that the avodah zarah imprints on the minds of its adherents becomes bottled, because it becomes an object of disgust and an object of ridicule. So that's how I answer the two biggest kashas. Domitzvah, they are different than all the ten makas. Hey, the Chartovim were able to duplicate the actions. They made Dom, they made Tzvadeh. It's only by Kinnin that they said, Etzba Elohimi, V'lo Yecholu. Right? They couldn't. But by Dom Tzvadeh, these Chartovim made it. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam give it to the hands of these Chartovim, these Shalotans, that they should be able to duplicate his Moifsa. Too late for it. Secondly, by Dom and Tzvadeh, it says that it smelled a disgusting, horrible smell. By the Dom, it says, Vadoga Sher Bayor, Meso Vativa Shayor. Right? And by the Tzvadeh, it says, Yasu Oisim Chomorim, Chomorim Vativa Shayor. By no other market does it express the horrible smell of the market. Pilei Ploya. That's it. Dom and Tzvadeh. What else?
Dever.
What does it say by Dever? It says that the Oretz also smell. What? It says my man, no. Dever Kovei. You're right. Okay, take a look. And I'm sure that there was a smell by Dever, because the veil is a terrible smelling thing, but doesn't mention it. The reason is because Dom and Tzvadeh were the avodazoras of the mitzvah. Dom is the oir, and Parayv said, Li oiri vani asisini. The oir is the thing that they worship, because it was their life source. But you know what else they worship? They worship two things in the oir. They worship the river, and they worship the animals that came out of the oir. Hatanim hagodo horoivets v'soichi oiri. Right? That's what... That's what the pasuk in the Yirmiyah tells us. It's the Haftarah for Vayera. So they worship the animals, the crocodiles, the creatures that came out of the Yor. So the Baruch Shalom took these two things, the Yor and the creatures from the Yor, the two Avodah Zorahs of Mitzrayim, which they worship, revered, and he made it so that the gaiva of the Chartumim, who had a terrible choice, if they would make the Makkah happen and show that they're great and powerful and wise people. So what would happen? They themselves, the Chachmei Mitzrayim, would be mevatel the Avodah Zorah and turn it into a stinking object. Yeah, Vativash. If they wouldn't do it, people would say the Chartumim are stupid and they would lose their covers. But you know, Rabbi, I say Gaiva always wins out. There's not even a chance for betting on it. So the Chartumim naturally went and faced the challenge and said, he picked me. We're very smart. We're geniuses. We're Chachmim. We're trying Chartumim. We're going to do it. So what did they do with their own hands? They were Mevatel the Avodah Zorah, and they turned it into an object of ridicule, of disgust. And therefore the Dom and Tzvadeh took away the barrier towards Mitzrayim being able to accept their Baruch Shalom. The minute that was over, there was no use for the Chartumim any longer. Right? Because the Baruch Shalom now could demonstrate there is a Shem Yisbarach. Point him with the fingers. Okay? Somebody will say, no, it's different. The Chartumim couldn't do it because it's a barrier pachas mikadasha ein hashed shoyle. But I think that's not a teretz. Why did the Baruch Shalom make that the kiddush should be parchas mikadasha, so the chatuvim shouldn't be shoylet? The answer is because the chatuvim already committed the thing that was necessary for them to accomplish, to be mevatel avodas zarah, and to ridicule it. So therefore, they themselves contributed to the downfall and the disappearance of the avodas zarah. Now Mitzrayim could be believed. Yodim Mitzrayim kini Hashem. Okay. The next thing that stands in the way of defeating an enemy is loyalty to their land, patriotism. Patriotism, Rabbi said, is a very major force. Nationalism, patriotism. So Mitzrayim is a patriotism to the holy land, to the motherland of Mitzrayim, is what created the next barrier. So the land itself turned into called Afar Ha'oretz Hoya Lechina B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, from one end of the country to the other. So the land went, so the gods went, and the patriotism went, the land. So therefore now came the destruction. The Orev is, you know, the biggest siman that Hashem Yisroel's punishing. Why? Because the Orev means all the different animals came attacking. Chickens and ducks and geese, as well as lions and tigers and horses and everything, domestic ones. And that's what it says in Hazinu, right? V'shen behemois ha'shalach bom. So Chazal say, what's pshat v'shen behemois ha'shalach bom? The lamed that the Baruch Shalom will turn the behemois into chayas torfas. U'kvar hoya ma'ase, right? Rashi brings in Hazinu, that he wants the domestic animals, right? And that's a very big downfall, because when you see a lion come to attack, so you know, that's part of nature. But when you see your own mule that serves you, and this also turns against you, right? And he takes a snip out of your ear. Well, you know that the Yosin, it shows you that you have no shlita, you're lost. The Behemoths are being shoyled on you. Your whole pride is that you're the son of man who is Yirdu Pitkas Hayom Uloif Hashemayim Uchaya Elechaz Al Haaretz. You're the one who is shoyled over the world. Odom, descendant of Odom Harishain, who was given the world that he should rule over. There's a certain pride. Right? Humanity. And now it shows that you're, like Chazal said, Yitush Kadomach. Right? If you're not going to behave, say Yitush Kadomach. You know why Yitush? Because the Yitush is the one that eats man for his meal. He sticks his finger into you and he pulls out a blob of blood. So, Yitush is the person, is the creature whose diet is each mosquito. His diet is human. It's mashpul the person. So that's why there's Orev. And Dever, I already explained. Dever, I spent a whole long time on Dever, so I'm not going to repeat anything. And Shchin, naturally, is the Shchita, the Shlita over the person. Right? Because the human being is covered from head to foot with Shchin. That means his Metzius is being dissolved into nothingness. And of course, Bora and Narva, they go together as a pair, because Bora and Narva get rid of the entire crap of Eretz Mitzrayim. Bora broke the Pishto and the Zoira, right? But Pishto and Zoira Nuku Ki Afilo Seina, and the Narva get rid of the Chit of Akusemes, and there was no food left, right? Eis Asher Hishir Havorod, so the Narva came. So that's the real attack of Bora the Narva. Okay. Choshech had many, many reasons for Choshech. And Makas Mechoyes. And Rabbi Yudah, he blows him on Simonim, and we'll stop over here. Tetzach, Adash, Riachad, now. Rabbi Yisai, I leave that up to you. Everybody has all kinds of Shukach Torah. Hadetzach, Adash, Riachad, why it's these three. Actually, the truth is that there's another lesson in the Yudah, which is probably more closer to the, because of the accurate Taich, because throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda gives Simon. Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana that emphasized making Simonim all over, remember the Simonim so that you should never forget the drop of Torah, and his form that bring like that, and it's all over this form. And so Rabbi Yehuda said, Tetzach Hadash B'Yachav, simply because it makes you remember the Aseres HaDibros. And I would bet you dollars to donut that most people remember the Aseres HaDibros only because of the Yehuda who said Tetzach Hadash B'Yachav, if not for that little... The Aseres HaMakah, sorry. Aseres HaDibros, we don't have a simon for, we should. But... Okay, the answer. The others say, of course, that Tzach Hadash B'Yachav was printed on the engraved into the oysters, and that those are the oysters of the matter. Okay.